name is Joshua Mayer, ADC number 269393.
Okay, sir, could you just hold on 1 minute?
Absolutely, sir.
All right. Mr. Mayor, I see that we have something here to notify your mother. Is it Hildegard Damper? Is that pronounced that right?
Hildegard? Hildegard Damper?
Hildegard?
Yes, sir.
Okay, it has Hildegard on here. Okay, so let me try to reach her and then we're going to continue your hearing, okay?
Yes, sir.
To Ms. Damper, please.
Speaking.
Hi, Ms. Damper. This is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I understand
yes.
that you wanted to participate in a hearing for your son, Joshua Mayer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. We're just getting ready to begin his hearing at this time. If you would just remain on the line, we will get with you at the appropriate time, okay?
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ich setze einen wichtigen Anruf. Was mache ich jetzt? Ich schicke dich jetzt zum Frühstücken. Ja, das ist okay?
Miss?
Ja?
Could you put your phone on mute while you're on there? We can hear you while you're still talking.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Alright.
Okay, I'm quiet.
Alright. Okay, sir, could you please state your name, your ADC number for us for the record?
My name is Joshua Lyle Mayer. My ADC number is 269393.
Okay, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce you to the board members that will be conducting your hearing today, sir. We've been authorized by our board chair, Dr. C2 Wright, to have a two-panel member for the purpose of conducting revocation hearings, sir. Today we have the Honorable David Neal, sir. And my name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be acting as your panel chair, sir. And if you can see on the screen now, sir, that is Mr. Sanders. Mr. Sanders is representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer, sir.
All right, thank you.
All right. Sir, prior to your hearing, you signed and received a notification form advising you of this board's hearing today, sir. You recall receiving and signing that form?
Yes, sir.
Okay, on that form, you are also notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I'm representing myself, sir.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor. At this time, I'd like to swear you and Mr. Sanders in. Do you solemnly... Ms. Damper?
Yes.
Okay, I'd like to also, are you going to be testifying or saying anything on behalf of your son?
Yes.
Okay, I'd like to swear you along with your son, Mr. Merritt, and the parole officer, Mr. Sanders, in at this time, okay? Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm, Mr. Merritt?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Sanders?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ms. Damper?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Merritt, your hearing today will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, we'll determine if the conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, we'll determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We're going to start out in phase one, sir. You have one allegation listed on your warrant. I'm going to read that allegation to you, sir. When I read that allegation to you, I need you to state whether that allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting?
Yes, sir.
Okay, the allegation on your warrant states that you're in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 5 as demonstrated by your being in possession of 1.94 grams of methamphetamine on September 6, 2017. Sir, let me just say this too, because you also have a DR number and a police booking number that's attached, which means that there's a report out on this, and we don't know what the status of that is, and anything that you say in this hearing is being tape recorded, and the prosecutors can subpoena a copy of this hearing, sir. So you have the option of stating whether it's true, false, or you can take the Fifth.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so is that allegation true, false, or do you want to take the Fifth, sir?
The allegation is false, sir.
Okay. Okay, based on the information you stated that that allegation is false, I am going to go to the parole officer, Mr. Sanders, to get some additional information.
On Mission 1, on 9-7-2017, Senior Parole Officer Collins received a telephone call from the Sierra Vista Police Department, Detective Eaton, badge number 482. Detective Eaton stated that the Sierra Vista Police Officer arrested the offender on 9-6-17. Detective Eaton stated that Corporal Nicola, Officer Ann Allen, and Kanan Bones executed a traffic stop on a vehicle driven by the offender. Kanan Bones alerted to the odor, I'm assuming the canine, alerted to the odor of illicit substance. The vehicle was searched and a plastic bag was found underneath the driver's seat containing a white crystalline substance. The substance was field tested and determined to be 1.94 grams of methamphetamine. The offender was transported and booked into the Cochise County Jail for a new felony, possession of dangerous drugs.
Okay. So, Mr. Merritt, what's not true about that, sir?
The entire statement is untrue. They never found any drugs in my possession, in my vehicle. They found drugs in the possession of the man riding with me, who I was simply taking home because he was a friend of a friend and he needed to ride it back to Casa de la Sierra, which is in Sierra Vista. When I was pulled over, I was out of the vehicle, and all of a sudden I'm getting arrested for some possession charge, and I didn't understand what was going on. And when I was being questioned, I asked them, well, where did you find this? And they said that they found some sort of dope outside of the vehicle. And I said, well, then that's not my problem. And I was never questioned in the entire time about, you know, methamphetamine underneath my driver's seat. If I was, you would mean then it would obviously, I would have a case, I would actually have a public defender, I would be having court dates, I would have something going along with this, but I cannot. So this entire statement seems false. What I think happened is that the guy that was with me was some big shot they were trying to get, and I got wrapped up into it. But I never possessed these drugs were never found on me, I don't have a public defender, and I don't have a court date. So none of this is true.
Okay. All right, sir. Thank you. So I'm going to say, based on the Department of Corrections information, along with the warrant information and the information from the Sierra Vista police detectives and officers that were involved in this incident, I am going to move to find that Mr. Merritt was delinquent and violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he may have lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Okay, Mr. Merritt, what we're going to do, we're going to go into phase two of your hearing, sir. During phase two, the board's going to make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to start out
Hello?
First. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, you were gone for a minute. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, sir, the board make a determination whether revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to start out phase two. We're getting some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Sanders. Then we're going to come back to you, Mr. Mary, to see if there's any information, additional information, information you'd like to present to the board. Then we're going to go to your mother, Ms. Damper, and see if there's any information she'd like to present to the board, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're going to start off first with Mr. Sanders.
Yes, Mr. Merritt was released on 5-8-2017 with a date of arrest of 9-7-2017 by the Sierra Vista Police Department on the aforementioned charges of dangerous drug and paraphernalia violation. He was back in DOC custody on 9-12-17 with a current CSED of 4-8-18, reflecting Mode's con time. His current conviction in 2015 is an aggravated assault receiving 1.5 years. Prior convictions in 2011 was a burglary first degree receiving 5 years. Since first term to DOC, CUIR score is a 4-4, mental health score of a 3, substance abuse score of a 2. No STG affiliation noted, no prior terms of supervision. Has a significant disciplinary history with drugs, disorderly conduct, violence, and staff assaults noted. Other arrest information, 2007, simple assault, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. Later in 2007, a criminal trespass third degree, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. And in 2011, a narcotic drug violation, Arizona felony conviction, probation. Has a G3-B5 score, and on the status of the charges, it does not appear that Sierra Vista Police Department has filed their complaint yet to the Cochise County Court. So at this time, there is no complaint filed.
Okay, Ms. Stanton, I'm just trying to understand. Does that mean that there's no complaint filed, or does that mean that the county attorney's office didn't file any charges?
I see nothing that says that the county attorney's office is not pursuing it. I see that the Sierra Vista Police Department has not filed their complaint.
Okay. All righty, thank you. Okay, Mr. Merritt, I'm back with you right now. I see that when you were released, you were approved to stay at 2775 Oakmont Drive in Sierra Vista with your mother, who was your sponsor, Ms. Hildegard Damper. It also says there, sir, that you were working at the Roadhouse.
Yes, sir.
You were working at the Texas Roadhouse, and that you were also a full-time student at Cochise College.
Yes, sir, I was.
Okay, so it says that May 22nd and August 28th, you submitted a urine sample at TAS that tested negative for illegal substance, and then on July 17th and August 7th, you submitted a swab that tested positive for amphetamine and methamphetamine, sir. Is that right?
Sir, that is true.
Okay. Then it says on May 8th, you were referred to Arizona Counseling and Treatment Services for anger management. And then on 9-6 of 2017, they received a call from the case manager saying that you were attending individual and group counseling and had two excused absences. Is that right, sir?
Sir, that is absolutely correct.
Okay, it says that they allowed you to continue your counseling and treatment services as IOP with increased drug testing and increased sessions. However, upon any further violation, the offender will be referred to Pima Reentry Center, Behavioral Health System Southwest, inpatient treatment program, or may be returned to custody. So Mr. Mayor, what was going on? What do you have to say? You were positive, you were negative on your drug testing, and then all of a sudden you came positive. You relapsed, or what's going on? You were working, you were in school, what's happening?
Yeah, if I could give a bit of a backstory to what kind of happened. When I got out in 5-8, I reconnected with a woman who I hadn't spoken to in a long time, and shortly thereafter, she became pregnant. And I don't know if you're a father, but I became dedicated, if you would say. I became very into becoming a father and doing the right thing and being the right thing. And as you can see in my history, I was working and going to school, and she went on vacation July 1st, and shortly thereafter she miscarried. And I was devastated, I'm not gonna lie. I fell back into some of my old ways. You know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. You know, the proof's in the pudding with that. I got with my parole officer. We had some conversations. She said, hey, look, like, I think rehab might be good for you. And I explained to her that, look, I'm going to school and I'm working, and this could really derail me if I prove to you that I'm done, because I just started to come out of, like, the kind of the black depression you had fell into. Like, if I prove to you that I'm doing good, can we just allow me to, you know what I mean? Let's just skip the rehab, and if I mess up again, I understand I will definitely go, because I obviously would need some help. And that showed in the task that I was done. I said, I got over it. I moved on from it. It was a hard thing. It's still a hard thing to this day to understand that I lost my first child. But I moved past it. I started attending my school. I started doing really well on both ends. And until the incident, until I caught myself in a situation that I had no idea about, or I had no idea what was going on, you know what I mean? I was doing great. I was taking care of my own business, paying my fees. I had learned my lesson, if you would say. I pulled myself out and said, this is not the life I want to live. I don't ever want to go back to this place, and kind of end up back in here almost on a technicality.
All right, Mr. Mayor, when did you say your girlfriend had the miscarriage?
She had the miscarriage. See, she left July 1st. She would have had the miscarriage that following Monday, so that'd be on the 4th. She had July 4th, she had the miscarriage. I'm not gonna lie, I fell into a depression. And I fell back in kind of my old way.
Alright, so did you just stay in that depression, sir, until you got arrested?
No. It lasted a few weeks, and you know, I got done with it. I got done with being sad and mad about it and angry. And I just said, I need to get my life together. I need to continue to do this schooling. I need to continue to work this job. I have a future I need to live for. And that's what I was doing. I was living for my future. I was living for myself. And last month of August and in September, I was school. I mean, I dedicated myself to my school. Like, I spent almost every day on the computer finishing up my classes. I would go to school. I was being auto tech. I'm an automotive, junkie, basically. I love vehicles, and I was going to go, that was my schooling.
Well, sir, it looks like in July and August, you tested positive for drugs and meth.
Yes.
Okay.
And that was a period.
Okay. And then, but you didn't have any drug tests after that.
Yeah, I did. I had to go to task, and I went to task. Like, my parole officer called me and she said, "Look, I'm gonna have to send you to rehab." And I said, "Look, give me this opportunity. Let me test you right now. I'm clean. I've been clean. I've come back." And she sent me to task, and that's the task that you're talking about, where I tested negative. I went up that day. So there's no way I could have shim-shammered around it or done some funny stuff. I went that day and I tested negative, and I continued to test negative.
Okay, well, it says that you tested on August 28th, you tested negative, sir. And then because of that, it appears that your counselor, your PO, was working with you, and you had a full-time job and attending college, and your PO was trying to work with you, sir. I'm going to be honest with you, Mr. Merritt. I don't know if those drugs was there, you know, belong to you or not, but I don't really buy the story, and actually we can't retry the case or not, but it just sounds kind of suspicious to me that you would say that the drugs weren't in your car at all, that the officer said they were outside of your car. I mean, it's just a total, you know, opposite story of what you're saying, and that you have been involved in drugs. But however, you know, our job here is not to retry the case. Our job here is not to try the case at all. We weren't there. We weren't involved. And I'm just being honest with you, sir, and telling you that story just doesn't set right with me, that the officers, you know, found the drugs outside of the car, and the story that you've given, and according to what we have here in the warrant information, it just doesn't coincide, you know, with the truth, sir.
Like I said, sir, if that what you're reading right there, that sounds cut and dry, right?
Well, I'm not saying
it's completely cut and dry.
I'm not saying it sounds cut and dry. I'm just saying that, sir, your statement that the drugs weren't found inside the car, they were found outside the car, and they didn't have anything to do with you. I'm just saying those stories just don't match up.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. I'm saying the police report is very cut and dry. Clearly, if drugs were found inside my vehicle, underneath my driver's seat, then why wasn't that complaint filed?
Well,
it's that simple.
Sir, I can't
I understand.
Okay.
I understand.
I'm going to see if my colleague has any additional questions, sir.
All right, I'm sorry, sir. I just, you know what I mean? Like, this is my freedom, and it means very much.
I do understand, sir, but you're asking us some questions that we can't answer, and really, I think those questions really aren't relevant. The police department hasn't submitted the report to the county attorney's office, or something has happened there. We can't adjust for that, but I'm going to see if my colleague, Mr. Neal, has any additional information questions. All right, sir. Mr. Neal doesn't have any additional questions. I am going to go to your mother. Ms. Dapper, are you still on the line?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, I am.
Okay, go ahead. You can present any information to the board that you'd like to at this time. However, please state your full name prior to presenting the information.
My name is Hildegard Dapper.
Okay, go ahead, Ms. Dapper.
At no time did I notice any drugs on Josh, but I mean, you know, I never took any, so I don't really know what to look for. He did have, that is true, what he said about his girlfriend, and she had a miscarriage, and he was very, very upset. And it was the 4th of July, because we were supposed to go to a picnic, and he said he couldn't go, he was too sad. He went through a time of depression. I offered help to take him somewhere, but he said he'll work through it. And I have to say, the week before he was arrested, he seemed to be doing much better, and he was focused on his school. As for him coming home, as for reentry, he was not prepared for reentry, and neither was I, to have a different person come home, and his medical conditions didn't help him either. I wish he could come home so we can work on all of that, because I know he's not getting help in prison. Is there anything else I should say?
Ms. Dampers, is there anything else you would like to say?
No, I think he'll be fine coming home and getting some treatment. He needs to realize that drug addiction is an illness, and he really needs to get for it.
Okay.
That's all I have to say.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Dapper. You can remain on the line while the board continues.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Merritt, is there anything else you'd like to say to the board before we actually go into discussion, sir?
I understand that you guys have your job to do and stuff like that, and we talked about the whole case thing, and I understand that you guys can't make, you know, here or there about all that stuff, but I just want you guys to know, like, I gave everything to being out there, and I ended in a situation that was just not my fault. Like, I told him the whole time, like, it's not my fault, like, I'm doing good, like, I'm just taking this dude home. Like, I was going home, I just wanted to be at my house, I was just taking this guy home. And I got caught up with this idiot who I barely even knew, and it just seemed ridiculous to me. And then all of a sudden they're telling me that I've got some stuff on me, and like, yeah, I just, you know what I mean, I'm not even done to talk about that. I was a positive member of society. I had a job. I was going to school. I was doing all the right things. I would never have messed it up by being an idiot and having drugs underneath my vehicle. Like, it would have never, you know, drugs underneath my seat, I would have never been that idiot. I care too much about my mom, my dad, and my life, and being something and being somebody, and not being this orange person, this number. That's not my thing, it's not my thing, it's never been my thing. I hate this place. I can't stand anything about it. And that's all I have to say.
All right, Mr. Merritt, thank you. The board's gonna go into discussion, sir. During the discussion, we'll make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. While the board's in discussion, sir, I'm going to ask you to remain silent. When we conclude our discussion, we'll get right back with you, okay?
Thank you, sir.
The board's now going into discussion. I mean, it appears that Mr. Merritt, I mean, there's some validity in what he's actually saying, that he did test positive and negative in the beginning on his drugs. He was attending school. He was trying to do some positive thing. He did relapse into doing drugs after he states that his girlfriend had a miscarriage sometime during that period of time. He relapsed back into drugs. He was driving a vehicle and stopped by the police. Police found some was alerted by a canine that there were some drugs in the car. They did find drugs under the driver's seat of the car after it was alerted by the dog. According to Mr. Merritt, he says the police officers told him they found the drugs outside the car, and later, subsequently, they were found inside the car. He also stated that the drugs, he didn't have any drugs on him. If they found drugs in the car, then why didn't they make any, press any charges, or why does he have a parole officer? According to Mr. Osborne, the police department just hasn't filed the charges. Sanders, I'm sorry, to Mr. Sanders, the police department hadn't filed the charges yet. I think that Mr. Merritt was making a genuine effort out there to get off drugs, to go to school, to be a productive and positive citizen. I am having some issues with this issue around the police officer and the stop that they actually made out there for the drugs. That I just think that if he wants to be off drugs, he's going to have to work on being honest and getting off drugs. And so that just doesn't set right with me about this last story. And I'm having a problem with that. As a result of it is that I'm not supportive of putting Mr. Merritt back on community supervision.
I agree.
Okay. Therefore, I am going to make the motion to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Merritt, find that he was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapses about the lapse into criminal ways or company, based on the fact that he has had relapse at one point back into using drugs, and he may have a pending charge out there for possession of methamphetamine. That second. Is going to be my motion and second at that time. Mr. Merritt?
Yes, sir.
All right, sir. The board has voted to revoke your community supervision at this time. I do want to thank you for participating in your hearing today, sir. That is going to conclude your hearing at this time. Ms. Damper, the board voted to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Merritt, and that's going to conclude the hearing at this time. We're going to be disconnecting the phone, and thank you for participating in the hearing today.
Thank you.
Mr. Merritt, we're going to conclude your hearing at this time. You will be released, sir, on April 8th of 2018. At that time, you won't have any parole or community supervision left.
All right, thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Did we get anything on him yet? He's going to be a So according to the documentation that I have, we were going to be at Lewis at 8:30. We're going to go to Yuma at 12:30. And then from Yuma, we were going to Island for a video conference at 1 p.m. So we are way ahead of our schedule. Right now, because we can't go to these till after lunch, Mr. Sanders, I don't know if we can. Mr. Sanders,
I mean, you want it off?
Yeah.